the Cold Omaha Podcast Network.
You can put it on the board.
Woo!
What's up, everybody? Brandon Warren here for another Periscope Midwest Swing podcast and simulcast here on, well, I guess, Periscope. I just said it, so that's kind of funny. But if you would like to send me questions again, feel free to send them here on the app or send them to me on Twitter at Brandon_Warren. I prefer you send them to me on Twitter just because I have a better way of seeing them up here on the screen, staying up there on Periscope. They go away after 3 to 5 seconds. So if you would like me to answer your questions, that would be great. Send them in. Obviously, Twins taking a tough loss tonight, 6-4 against the Seattle Mariners. Got a chance to even the series as it wraps up tomorrow afternoon. Jose Berríos on the mound, taking on Ariel Miranda, and that should be a fun start for Berríos, who has been very, very good through 6 starts for the Twins. Excuse me, sorry, looking a little bit shabby tonight if you're watching the Periscope, as I hit a little softball tonight, so I didn't actually cover the Twins game. Tom did, and so I kind of had to pick it up in about the 5th inning when Byron Buxton homered after Eduardo Escobar homered. So obviously Escobar swinging the bat really well, 5 hits on Tuesday night, then another really solid night at the plate tonight. Probably has a chance to start stealing some playing time from Jorge Polanco at short if things don't get better for him at the plate. And so if that's the case, I think that letting Escobar, you know, ride this hot hand for a while is probably not the worst idea. But, I mean, the other issue is that Polanco just has been struggling offensively for so long that it might be time to change it up just a little bit here in the short term. I also like what Ary Adrianza brings defensively at short, so if they want to give him a look too, I don't really have a problem with that. Again, if you're joining the chat right now, please feel free to send me tweets at Brandon_Warren. Questions that you want me to answer on the air. Again, you can use the app for comments or whatever else that you might want to get out there, but other than comments, I can't really promise that I'll see the questions long enough to remember them because I'm kind of slow, and then remember to get back to them if I'm in the middle of a rant. You know, we've talked about a lot of things as far as bullpen guys, Irvin Santana, whether or not he's an ace, which is a conversation that I'm pretty sick of course. But did have a fun podcast and video podcast that I posted today. So if you're checking this out right now, please, please, please go to YouTube on coldomaha.com or Cold Omaha's YouTube page. Look for me talking to Chris Jimenez, catching up with the catcher. And check it out, because we had a lot of fun filming it. It's kind of like a little TV show that we did in the Twins clubhouse. Had a lot of fun. Kyle Gibson was giving him some crap. We talked about pitching. He ended up pitching the night that we recorded it, which was Monday. Just a lot of fun. And only 80 views so far on the video. So please, please, please check it out. If you don't like it, tell us. If you do like it, tell other people. Because we want people to know what we're doing here and what we're capable of. And if we need to get better, we can do that. So if you think that there's things that I can do differently, such as fix my face like Ricky Rubio might say, then we'll give it a try. But for now, I can just keep doing what I'm doing and hopefully people like it. But, you know, we're trying some new things. So I did see a question in the chat asking if Nick Gordon is a shortstop or a second baseman long term. We did, in fact, actually address that on the Tuesday episode of Midwest Swing, the full-length podcast with Mike Berardino. I do recommend listening to that. It was a very spirited discussion, not only about the MLB draft, though it was mostly the MLB draft, but we also did talk about Nick Gordon at second and shortstop versus Angel Vilma playing second or short. And then Nick Turley as well. We did talk about what his future might hold, because even though he did have a rough start, in San Francisco, you can see the stuff is clearly there. 93 miles per hour with the fastball from the left side with a good breaking ball, good slider, good curve, And so I think that it's pretty clear, 8 swinging strikes and 75 pitches, that he's got stuff. Execution is going to be a little different. We did talk a little bit yesterday in the Twins clubhouse about using the weighted wall system from driveline bases and some other things that he's been doing and planning to do moving forward to continue helping. Not so much in velocity, that is, but actually in recovery, which is also very important for pitchers. So anyway, back to the Gordon second base shortstop debate. Mike Berardino said that he did think that Gordon might be better suited at second base just because of how smooth Angel Vilma was at short when they were taking infield. Vilma and Gordon both started the season at Chattanooga. Vilma has been bumped up to Rochester. He's hitting a little bit up there last I checked. And so a young guy with a smooth glove has drawn some comparisons to Omar Vizquel. Again, not that he'll become Omar Vizquel. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying he's going to be a future Hall of Famer. But when Vizquel came up, and for a large part of his career, he was glove first, glove second, and the bat leg much further behind. He did become a pretty good hitter in the middle of his career. But early career Vizquel is certainly not a bad thing to be if you're really great defensively at short without too much value. And I guess the big thing with Gordon was sometimes his instincts weren't great in terms of fluidity at the position and that sort of thing. So it was, it just was one of those things where it was a little surprising that Gordon was a little measurably less fluid at short than Vilma was. So that's not me saying that I think Vilma is going to come up and not get the bat knocked out of his hands. And they have a ton of shortstop talent that is in the system in terms of Wander Javier, Royce Lewis. They'll be signing the international kid on July 2 most likely. And so it's going to be a lot of very good options for the Twins up the middle. I did see someone ask if Lewis is going to move off shortstop and move to whether it's center field, third base, wherever. It'll be interesting to see if that's the case, but they do view him as a shortstop to start. You know, I don't really know what else we might expect them to say. You know, they're obviously going to say that they want him to stick it short because that's where the most value is. But if he does fall down the spectrum, so to speak, to center field, that still gives you that B.J. Upton-type player up the middle who was an elite player early in his Tampa Bay days. Mike on the podcast on Tuesday mentioned Ian Desmond was another name he thought. Who knows, you know, maybe he could be that kind of guy. So, you know, we'll see what happens. I liked the pick, and I know that, I've gotten a lot of grief for being too positive. And, I rip the Twins quite frequently. I didn't like pinch running for Jason Castro tonight. I just don't rip them in a sense where I say that they're crap or whatever. I pick my spots. If I don't like something, I say I don't like it. If I don't like bunts, I say I don't like bunts. And, you know, I'm going to try to be classy when I rip things. I don't always manage to toe that line very well, but you know, the thing is, baseball is such a day-to-day game and you have to keep a broad view of it that it's tough to rip on a day-to-day on a day-to-day basis, because if you rip somebody one day and your point 3 days later is proven wrong, it wasn't a good point in the first place. And so that's what I struggle with. Brad Simon has sent me a tweet. Please, again, I'm seeing a lot of comments in the chat room. Send me tweets at Brandon_Warren. I would be happy to answer them. I don't see these questions up on the screen long enough to process them mentally in my big head with a small brain and remember them to rattle them back off. So Brad says, will this team ever get pitching reinforcements like real ones, or are they all hurt long term? I understand the skepticism, but I also do think you have to be pretty excited about Steven Gonsalves, who I think will probably move up to AAA here, probably before too long. Last I checked, he had like 27 innings at Chattanooga. So they'll move him up at some point. I mean, I don't think Tim Melville is going to hold him down, or Drew Rusinski. Twins signed Melville to a minor league deal the other day, and Rusinski to a minor league deal that was announced today. I don't know if it happened yesterday, but I think that Gonsalves will be up there soon. I think they'll want Fernando Romero to move relatively quickly while still keeping his innings within reason. I don't think you're going to see either of those guys in the big leagues this year. But I do think as far as pitching reinforcements, you're going to have to see them get creative in terms of bringing guys up that aren't on the 40-man. And to me, as I said in a previous chat, really not that difficult in that Bucinich can help you. John Curtis, who is just killing it at Chattanooga, can help you. Mason Malatakis. I wouldn't be opposed to Randy Rosario coming back up at some point. And I think what we saw from Rosario, even though it looked like he probably wasn't ready based on how he got hit, was a lefty with good stuff that just needs a little more polish. You know, there are arms that are interesting. Trevor Hildenberger. I mean, we list these names on and on and on. But I think you could do a wholesale swap with Belisle out, Breslow out. They've already sent out Wimmers. They sent out Heston, who could be coming back on Saturday to start one of the games of the doubleheader. But I do think you could do a mass exodus and bring up some of these guys and throw something at the wall, because I don't know that Alan Bucinich has much more to prove at AAA Rochester, and I don't think that it's unreasonable for him to come up. I am a Rooster Man, which I think is a phenomenal handle, says, if we just have our phone, you can't watch and tweet me, though. I understand that. So that's one flaw in the whole thing that I don't like. And I appreciate, first of all, the retweet that you did. I love the idea that people are giving me a little more exposure. Not that I necessarily deserve it, but hey, what can I say? So I will try to keep the screen stuff in mind if I can. Got a lot of tweets in here, though, so I'm going to get back to that. Anyway, Brad, yeah, so as far as pitching reinforcements, I think they're trying to be creative. I talked with Jimenez. This was actually not on the podcast, but it was after we recorded Just Shooting the Breeze. I talked to him almost every single day, which is amazing, because you wouldn't think a backup catcher would be able to tell you that much stuff. But the insight he has into not necessarily the game, but the inner workings of the Twins, from an analytics standpoint, from a what they're trying to do standpoint, from a bullpen hierarchy standpoint, he is in a lot of ways kind of like another coach. You know, when I asked him, is Tyler Duffy starting to get closer to working the eighth inning of some games, he's like, oh yeah, for sure. So I can go to him for a lot of information. And, so we talked about Nick Turley specifically being a guy. You know, the Cleveland Indians, when Derek Falvey was there, traded for an unknown guy. They traded a right-handed reliever named Vinny Pestano, who had some good numbers, but, had kind of fallen off. They traded him to San Diego and got this unknown guy, 26-year-old righty named Corey Kluber, who was not throwing a two-seam fastball at the time. They got him throwing the two-seamer, and the rest is history. He wins Cy Young Award. He's the Klubot, and he's just a stud. And so it's not to say that Turley's going to be that same kind of guy, but they are leaving no stone unturned in terms of interesting arms. A lot of fans will call that scrap heap, and I understand that. But when it comes to pitching, it's not always as easy as signing a Max Scherzer, who's phenomenal but will be paid by the Nationals for the next X number, many, many years. That worked out. John Lester is very, very good, although he hasn't been that good lately. But that's another deal that's worked out. But for each of those, you've got David Price, who's right now, quite frankly, a mess in Boston. Who would have seen that coming? I would have thought that that David Price deal would have worked out beautifully, with maybe the last 2 years being rough. And now, so far, it's actually been, not a great go right now as it is. So I like the idea of being creative, because if we talked about Turley specifically, is that if Turley becomes a really nice pitcher, not only is that a nice boost to a rotation that is, I agree, I think David Price recovers. Not only is Turley a nice boost to a rotation that is desperately seeking a third guy behind Santana and Berríos, but you've got 6 years of control over a guy who's 27 years old. So you can basically control his useful years till he's age 33 with no risk. And so I think that's, people will call that scrap heap. They'll call it dumpster diving. I think it's brilliant. It's the same way that they got Buddy Beauchers, who I guess, be the biggest fan of. But he's an effective middle reliever. Nobody's calling him more than he is. Yeah, Twins fan 44 saying Turley's a good strikeout guy too. And yeah, I mean, 93 from the left side with a good breaking ball. That'll work. If you've got three pitches from the left side and you're throwing, even in the low 90s, it comes down to sequencing. It comes down to defense. Yeah, I agree with you, Rooster Man. A pretty good 4-5er, could be a great reliever. George Bissell from Baseball Prospectus was asking me in my mailbag when they'll make him the Chris Devensky, which is the Astros super reliever, flavor du jour from the last year or so. honestly, they could use that value there. I think that's what they'd like to do with Duffy. But if you can have Duffy and Turley doing that, you know, once maybe you get Romero up to the big leagues and you get Gonsalves up to the big leagues and you don't need a fifth starter as much because hopefully somebody else has figured it out, then yeah, I have no problem having him be that super reliever. But, you know, when time comes for Hector Santiago to come back, whether that's this Saturday or 5 days from then, I think you send back Mejia, frankly, and keep Turley up to make starts because it's not that I don't think Mejia is, for the most part, a finished product, but he's younger, has a little more to work on and all that, whereas Turley at 27, just let it ride, figure it out. You know, it's you're not going to ruin a guy that you signed out of indie ball. It's not entirely unlike Aaron Thompson where they kind of ran him through the meat grinder. But at the same time, at 27, he's obviously much more talented than Thompson. So it's kind of an uneven comparison. But I do think that, you know, there's no sense in yo-yoing Nick Turley around. Just keep him up and figure out what you got. Because, you know, the Twins have two of the worst starters in exit velocity. Actually, it's number one and number two among pitchers with at least 500 pitches. Hector Santiago and Phil Hughes. So give this Turley guy a shot. I mean, the other guys are hurt. The other guys are struggling. Just get a little creative. I mean, I know everyone's like, well, you're in contention, so you got to play by the book. I think these guys are not afraid to make unpopular decisions if it means that they can win and extend their winning window, which I think makes a lot of sense. Twins fans, Twins fan is wondering if the Twins could move Eddie Rosario. He seems like a guy they could afford to move. Yeah, I mean, I don't think they'd be opposed to it. Obviously, they're not married to him because they didn't bring him on with this current brain trust. So I don't think they'd be afraid to move him. I just don't think that he's really that interesting to anybody else. Any knowledge on Turley slider he mentioned after his... I lost that thing. He asked about a Turley slider. I can ask about that. Turley and I talked at length yesterday about his curveball and his slider. And you know, we just talked about how they're obviously very different pitches for him. It's not a slurvy thing where each day he throws that one or the other. AA start, new AAA start. Okay, new grip. All right. I'll ask him on it because I don't know about anything about a new grip or anything. I know he's been working on some different things in terms of mechanics and all that because he had lost his way. In fact, Baseball America, early in his career, listed him as having the best control in the Yankees system. I think it was like 2012. And then he went through a stretch where he walked like four batters per nine. And I don't know if he's ever tried a changeup. We can ask him that too. But he went through a stretch where he struggled with command. And now he just kind of got back to the fact where he's like, I'm just going to attack the zone. I'm going to throw strikes. And so far, that has resulted in the strikeouts. It hasn't been deception, but rather attacking the strike zone. And, you know, he loves the strikeouts. But he doesn't pitch four strikeouts. It was when he pitched four strikeouts that he walked guys. So he just, I think he feels like he's taking a more natural approach to pitching, and it has actually has worked out for him. Let's see what we have for other questions. Francis Materi wants to know if we would take Mike Pelfrey back as a bullpen arm. This is an unpopular opinion, but yes, I would. If the White Sox designated him for assignment and he came at no cost and you told him, look, Big Pelf, you need to work out of the bullpen? And he said, yeah, I'll do it. I would sign him in a heartbeat. Good fastball with some good arm side run. Probably run it up there 95, 96 out of the pen. Work with the split and maybe a slider or a curveball. Let's play. I think I really do think that makes a lot of sense. So I would definitely welcome back Mike Pelfrey, the reliever, with open arms in terms of taking a flyer. I'm not giving him $4 million a year or anything like that, but on a flyer, yeah, why not? Superfan Minnesota says he can't pretend that the Aaron Hicks trade doesn't piss him off on a daily basis. Yes, I agree. I started the hashtag stick with Hicks. I don't know if it's gotten much play out there now, but man, I wish Aaron Hicks was still with the Twins. Josh Meyer says, how surprised would I be if Gordon was traded for pitching at the deadline? Fairly surprised. I think they want him to play second base in the future. I think it'd be more likely that Brian Dozier would be traded and Nick Gordon would debut within the next year or so with, you know, maybe Polanco moving over to second base in the meantime, letting Escobar and Adrianza play short in the meantime. Oh, sorry, I got a frog in my throat. But I do think that if if a good deal comes for Dozier or Santana, these guys would not be afraid to pull the trigger because they need to focus on a sustainable winning window. And if moving Irvin Santana or Brian Dozier allows them to find that window, I think that they have to do that. Let's see what other questions we have. Two more years until Aaron Hicks is a free agent. If he keeps this up, how much will he get? That's Michael St. John asking that question. If Aaron Hicks keeps it up 2 years from now, let's see. He was born in 89, so you'd be looking at a 30-year-old Aaron Hicks coming off 3 5-win seasons, would that be? 3 6-win seasons? You're probably looking at a 6-year deal around 22 million per year. Because, I mean, the track record would be pretty solid by that point. You know, the problem with Carlos Gomez is he hit free agency at the wrong time. He did it after struggling. If Carlos Gomez, Nate wants to know if we're talking multiple wins. If they were keeping it up, if he keeps this up for two more seasons after this, then yeah, I think you're talking 3 6-win seasons, and then yeah, you're probably talking about, you might be talking about 6 years, $25 million per. I don't know where we'll be with opt-outs in that time, as far as if a team would be willing to give that to him. But if he puts up 3 years full that look like this, I think you're looking at what Carlos Gomez might have gotten if he had not had last year when he did. And I think Carlos Gomez, is going to be a $100 million guy. I feel like Gomez is an 80. What year was he born? I want to say 85. So he would have been 32 when he hit. Hicks would be 2 years younger. I think you would be looking at a little bit more than Gomez. But again, that's so far off in the future. You know, he's got to do this for 6 times as long as he has now, which is not even, like Roosterman said, not even a half season yet. So, I mean, the other thing is he's doing it as a left from the left-handed side of the plate, which I don't think anybody saw coming. I mean, in fact, with the Twins towards the end there, he wanted to stop switch hitting, which I think drove Ron Gardenhire to pull out even more of the hair that he was quickly losing. So, I don't know. Guys, we're already at the 22-minute mark, so we're gonna wrap it there. I want to thank you guys for checking this out. It is you guys who make these successful and give me the energy to do them late at night when I would rather be getting ready for bed. And they're a lot of fun. You guys listen to them as the podcast, the audio podcast. We get good listen numbers. Again, if you enjoy these, tell your friends. If you don't enjoy them, tell me on Twitter. I would be happy to make changes to make these as professional as possible. I don't know what makes a podcast good or bad. I'm not a good self-critic. And so honestly, just tell me if there's something you want me to change. Otherwise, tell people what we're doing here, because honestly, I think we're doing some pretty good work. Zone Coverage is a really awesome, great place to work for. Tom is one of the best bosses I've ever had, even though that laugh is, it's really something special. So check out the Chris Jimenez chat, Catching Up with the Catcher. That dude's going to be a future major league manager. Thanks for joining me tonight. Be good. Peace.